Well, take your Bibles, please. And that was a good sight a while ago when Brother Gaiman had us hold them up and shake them like that. Let's do it one more time. Just hold your Bible up. You have your Bible with you? Isn't that beautiful? Look around. Keep them up a minute. Just look to your left. Look to your right. I can see all that from up here. Thank you. I love to see God's Word in the house of God. You'd be surprised at the churches you go into today. They don't even have Bibles. People don't even carry Bibles to church. And that's a strange thing. You say, well, why won't they go? Well, that's my question. Why in the world would they go to a church? But when you have somebody giving you a little pep talk from a stool, and you don't maybe sometimes need a Bible. But we have a Bible, amen? And we preach from the Word of God. Joshua chapter 4, beginning with verse 19. Joshua chapter 4, verse 19. The title of the message tonight is, What Mean These Stones? What do these rocks mean? These stones mean? Joshua 4:19. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. Joshua stacked them up, pitched them there in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Why are they here? Why are they stacked up like this? What's this monument mean? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you, until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. What mean these stones? What are these rocks you've piled up mean over here? You know, sometimes I wish we would have an old-fashioned revival so somebody might try to figure out what was really happening. Some of you have some testimonies of seeing old-time, heaven-sent, Holy Spirit-given revivals. And if it happened right now, some of the kids would probably have to say, Daddy, what does this mean? It's been so long since we had it. But nevertheless, we should always desire it. But he says, here's some stones I've set up. And one of these days, the children are going to come to you and say, What do these stones mean, Dad? What, Daddy, tell me about this. Maybe a father walking along with two or three little children, and they come to that monument, and he says, What does this mean? And he said, Well, you know, let's sit down just a minute. Come over here and just sit down and let Dad talk a little while. I want to tell you what these stones mean. Exactly what they're all about. They are significant, and I'm glad you ask. Number one, he says, let me tell you that these stones mean that God answers prayer. He says, don't ever forget this, my child. God answers prayer. For 400 years, we prayed and prayed and asked God for a deliverer. We were in bondage. We were in a mess. We were in Egypt, and we needed a deliverer, and we went to God in prayer and prayed. It took a while, but God always answers prayer. How many of you believe God answers prayer? Say amen. Amen. He answers prayer. Sometimes yes, sometimes no, sometimes wait a while, but God always answers prayer. And he reminds them that God is in the prayer answering business. They prayed for a deliverer. God gave a deliverer. Do you believe in prayer? I hope you do. Don't quit praying. Keep on praying. God answers prayer. God is a prayer answering God. And he says if our ways please him, we can ask anything as long as it's according to his will, and we will have what we ask for. God answers prayer. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we need to tell our children that. What does this mean, Dad, when you get down on your knees and you're saying those words? And you say grace at the table, and other times we see you pray. It means, my child, that we have a God we're praying to, and that God has all power. He is omnipotent, and God will and can answer prayer. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. You have any prayer burdens tonight? Don't give up. Don't stop. Just keep going to God in prayer. I've seen some answered just like that. I've seen some it took a while for God to work in the lives and for God to work it out, as God would not force himself upon the volition and choice of individuals. But in time, God did it. And God hears and answers prayer. God's always working in answer to prayer. My child, I want you to know tonight, and I want all of you folks to know, and I want all of our children to know, that God is real and God does answer prayers. We just need to believe him and have faith and go to him in prayer. He says, my child, I want to tell you another thing those stones mean. They really mean something. They're not very beautiful. They're not polished like our monuments are today. They were not polished like that, but they are stones that have significance. And secondly, he says, I think I'll tell you that God saves by the blood of the Lamb. That's what those stones mean. Oh, is that right? Yeah, let me tell you about it. One time God said that the death angel was going to come through all of the land of Egypt. And all of the firstborn in every family was going to die. And we got word, and Daddy came in, and Dad said, son, we're going to have to do something. We've got to go get a little lamb. And so they went out and got a little lamb. And Dad brought that little lamb in. Didn't seem like much. We didn't know what was going on for sure. But he said, we've got to get the blood. We've got to slay this little lamb. And we've got to take the blood of that lamb and put it on the doorposts and on the lintels. And sure enough, son, guess what? Dad did that. And he took the hyssop and he put it on the doorposts and on the lintels. And whenever he did that, whenever the death angel came through, guess what happened? Would you believe that we were protected? And on the inside we were safe, and on the outside people were screaming, and there were tears, and there was heartache, and there was heartbreak, because the firstborn all around were dying, but not where the blood was placed. You and I need to tell our children about the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. One way to go to heaven, one way to be saved, one way to be justified, one way to have all of our sins washed away, and that way is through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had a chance to testify and tell them, it worked, my son, because when God came and judgment came, the blood had been applied, and we were safe and sound. And that's why we're here today. Yeah, those stones mean something. What do they mean? They mean the blood atonement is the only way to be saved, and that Jesus is the only door in order for us to get to heaven. Yes, those stones mean something. It's not H2O. It's not water. It's not the baptismal works. It's not being baptized that gets us to heaven. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that washes our sins away. I feel sorry for those who are depending on baptism to get them to heaven. I feel sorry for those who are depending on church membership or their good works to get them to heaven. You know, somehow most everybody thinks they're going to heaven. Most everybody thinks they're good. Most all of us in here tonight think we're pretty good. Don't look at me like that. You know I'm telling you the truth. You know, you may realize you're a sinner, but you still think you're pretty good. But most of society, don't they think they're pretty good? And you talk to most people, and what do they think is going to happen to them? Well, we're going to die. And somehow, some way, they all think they're going to go to heaven. Talk to the average person. Just talk to them a little while. Are you going to heaven? Well, yeah, I'm a pretty good person. I know I'm not perfect, but I'm pretty good. And somehow, they're all looking for, they talk about this bright light that they see at death. Some very wicked people have almost died, and they saw that and came back. And they said it was so comforting. But they've never been born again. Don't let the devil fool you and deceive you, my dear friend. It's the blood of the Lamb, and only the blood of the Lamb. And everybody doesn't go to heaven. Some people are going to go to hell if they're not under the blood. And if you're not under the blood, when you die, you will die and go to hell. You better get under the blood. It's the blood. Yeah, these stones mean something. And when we preach on the blood, it means something. Also, he would say to the child, God separated the waters of despair. He said, we came to a place later on, and he's telling this story to his child. We came to a place later on, and man, I'm telling you, after that happened, God told us to get out, and Pharaoh told us to leave, and there were 10 plagues. All of that took place. And then we took off on our journey, and guess what? We came, of all things, to the Red Sea. And as we got to the Red Sea, we realized there was mountains all over here. We couldn't get over those mountains. We didn't have any swords. We didn't have any instruments of warfare. And here comes Pharaoh behind us. And the enemy is chasing us, and we can see the dust coming from their chariots. And they're getting closer and closer and closer. And I can see the little child and say, well, Dad, what happened? Oh, they're getting close. Here they come. Pharaoh and all of his army and all of the soldiers, and they're coming to kill us, and they're going to destroy us because they did not want us to leave. Well, Dad, what did you do? Didn't do anything. You're kidding me, Dad. You didn't do anything? No, we really didn't have to do anything. There wasn't anything we could do. Well, Dad, what happened? God did it. God parted the waters. We just stood there and watched them part. Oh, I know Moses used the rod, but it wasn't the rod. It was God that did it. And God parted the waters of despair when they came to that place. And he said, God redeemed us at the Red Sea from Pharaoh and all of his army. And guess what? He destroyed all of the enemies. Destroyed every last one of them. You see, we've got to remember that we don't do anything. Salvation is of the Lord. It's always of the Lord. And that whenever we come to a place in our life, we have despair. We don't know what we're going to do, my dear friend. Just stand still, God says, and know that I'm God. Just be still and let me prove myself to you. I can imagine most of us would have panicked, taken our nerve pills, and taking an extra dose right then, say, here they come. Come on, let's down them. Or maybe some real spiritual Baptist would have taken a shot of whiskey if they had it, or whatever. They would have tried to somehow gotten some comfort and some peace at the moment. But God said, be still and know I'm God. Friend, what problem do you have tonight? What challenges do you have tonight? Do you feel like you're in despair? Do you feel like there's no use? You're about ready to give up, and it seems like everything is failure, and you're just taking all you can take. My friend, God is there, and God will open and part your Red Sea if you'll just trust him to do so. Salvation is the Lord, and he will make a way when there is no way. By the way, it wasn't a Red Sea either. It was a lot deeper than ankle deep. Anything that could drown all of Pharaoh and his army and the chariots was a whole lot more than ankle deep. But God parted the water, and when God got ready and they got across on dry land, God let the waters come back, and they were destroyed. Somebody said, well, yeah, but that was sort of an accident. And it happened that there was a big cave-in up the stream somewhere up there, and it just so happened that it stopped the water, and that takes a miracle element out of it. Oh, no, it doesn't. It's pretty good timing of God to let it happen. However it happened, it happened. The Bible says it was a mighty wind that took care of the matter, and God can do that, and God can take care of your need tonight. God stopped all of their enemies in the track, and they were dead in their tracks, and he said none were left behind. Not any? No, none were left behind. God destroyed them all. And friend, God will take care of your enemy if you'll lean on him. God will take care of the devil and the temptations in your life if you'll lean on him. He's there. Those stones mean something. Oh, my child, these stones mean that God is there and God will take care of it. What else does it mean? Well, it means that God's going to supply all of your needs. God's going to supply all of your needs. Let me tell you, before we ever crossed Jordan, we got over here, guess what? We were coming across, we got to the Red Sea, and as we got on the other side of the Red Sea, we started to cross that Sinai Peninsula, and God didn't want them to go a certain direction. God led them a long way around. You see, sometimes God will put us through a storm, and sometimes God will test us, and God will try us, and we'll wonder, well, God, I could have went right straight across. Why did you have me go down this way and back up that way? And God says, I wanted to reveal myself to you, and I had some plans for you and some things I wanted to do to you and through you and for you as you went that way. But he said, my child, let me tell you a little something. We got out there, and we got awful hungry. You know, we didn't carry a lot of victuals with us. We didn't have a whole lot to take with us. We got awful hungry out there and we wanted something to eat. And guess what God did? God supplied us with McDonald's burgers, just floated right out of heaven. Well, I don't know what they were. It was manna, amen? And the manna came down and they ate the manna. God took care of it. And he said, you know, you get sort of thirsty in the desert, amen? And God took care of it, because where there was no water, he made water. And water came out of a rock. And I can see the little child's eye get big. Really, Daddy? Yes. Water came out of the rock. God is able to do that. God supplied the need. Mothers and daddies, tell your children often. Tell them in those devotional times. Tell them every time you get a chance what God has done. When God answers a prayer, share it with your children. My goodness, we've had cars prayed in. We've had dishwashers prayed in. We've had dryers prayed in. We've had money prayed in. We've had other things prayed in our lives. And all the time I would go to my children, my son Phil and my daughter Nicole, and I would say, God answered this prayer. We've been praying for this. And usually they were praying with us about it. And God would answer prayer. And they would know that God was real because he did it. Don't hide it from them. Share it with them and share it with others. Let them know that God answers prayer, and he'll do that. He always does. And so he gave them manna and water, and God is going to supply your needs tonight. What are your needs tonight? You have a financial need? God will take care of it. You say, well, boy, I wish he really would hurry up. Well, he's got a time, and he has a way, and many times he may let us get right up against it, right up against it. One of our members was telling us the other day, just getting closer and closer and closer, a certain amount of money that she needed, and God supplied it and a little bit more right at the last hour, the 12th hour. God does that. God wants to see if we're going to trust him and believe in him. And it's not only that area, but a lot of other different areas in our life. God wants to do that. God will even take care of mercy when you fail him. He said, I want to tell you, along the way there was sin in the camp. Do you think we ever have any sin in our church? Do you think we ever have any members that sin in our church? I'm sure from the pulpit through the pew, it happens from time to time. Is there any hope for us? Is there any grace out there for us? Oh, thank God there's plenty of grace. And he said, although some fail, God put a serpent on a stick, so to speak, and raised it up, and he said, all of those that have been bitten by the serpent, look at this brazen serpent, and if they'll look, they will live. Is there any hope? Yes. Look and live. And there's grace, and there's mercy. And the little child would say to Daddy, well, did anybody look? Did anybody look and live? And the daddy would say, you're looking at one who looked and lived. And we can testify to the grace of God, to the mercy of God, and to the fact that even after we are redeemed and brought out of that land, when we fail God, all we have to do is look to the cross, and we are restored in full fellowship. We don't get our salvation back because we don't ever lose it. But we lose fellowship. When we get fellowship back, and we just have to go back and bow down and look at the cross, confess our sins, 1 John 1:9 and 2:1, and whenever we do that, God takes care of it. If we'll confess it, he'll forgive us. What else does it mean, Daddy? This is interesting. Can you tell me a little bit more about what else it means? Yeah, it means that God always stands by his promises. You see, God promised us we're going to get to the Holy Land. God promised us he's going to take us out, and he was going to take care of us. He was going to lead us across that desert. He was going to take us into the land, the Holy Land, the land of promise. He promised that, my son. And these stones are here as a reminder that God keeps his promises. We ought to remember tonight that God keeps his promises. I have a little Bible that is a promise Bible that someone gave me in my former church. And that Bible is just replete with promises. I'm glad tonight God keeps his promises. Let's say you're depressed. You came in here tonight down and depressed. You need Psalm 34:7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Lean on the Lord. He's there. There are many promises just like that. God will help you in your time of depression if you'll go to the Word of God and claim the promise that God has for you. What about when the devil gets on your case and you're tempted and he turns up the fires of temptation? Where do we go? We go to the promises of the Word of God. And we find promises like 1 Corinthians 10:12 and 13. Wherefore let him think that, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Listen to it. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. Don't be surprised when you have trials, and don't be surprised when you're tempted to sin. There's no temptation taken you, but as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation give a way of escape. Amen. There it is. Claim the promise of God and go to the Word of God and say, God, I'm being tempted. Now give me that way of escape. Help me to have enough sense to take that way of escape. And he said, I'll give it to you. If we are angry and bitter and we have problems about that, we need to go to Proverbs 15:1 and remember the promise of God. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. That's a promise of God. One will work just like the other. It's God's guarantee. Proverbs 16:32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Amen? He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit. Some people can't rule their spirits. But he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a whole city. They're more powerful than somebody that can take a city. So when there's anger, go to the Word of God. Claim the promise. When you're fearful, afraid of something, afraid of a new job, afraid of a new challenge, afraid of something in your life, whatever it may be, when you're afraid of something, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, good mental health. Just trust in God when we get fearful. Claim the promises of God. They are there for us. And then whenever we are a little afraid of other circumstances, we can listen to what the psalmist said, and some of the most encouraging verses are there. Psalm 91:1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We're under his shadow, abiding under it. He's taking care of us. Psalm 91:4, he shall cover thee with his feathers. That's like a hen and her little chicks. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wing shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Those are just some of the promises that I took out of that book, and there are many others. It's just saturated. The Bible has them for us if we'll just go to them. And he said, my little child, my son, I want you to know that God said we'd get to the land, and God kept his promise, and we did get to the land, and we're in the land of promise today because of that. Thank God the Bible is filled with promises. We've got to claim them. And then what else do these stones mean? Well, son, these stones mean that God and God's grace and all about God will be sufficient at the time of death. It was good in death. What do you mean? Well, not only did we come across the Red Sea and all across the Sinai Peninsula, but finally, just before we went into the Promised Land, we came to a river called Jordan. And the River Jordan, as we all know, to us as Christians many times, is a symbol of death. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Amen. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. And it was good, he said, because it took place. We came to death, and again, God parted the waters. Not only the grace that is supplied for salvation and the trip and getting us here, but thank God when we came to the river, he parted the waters. And Joshua went over, and all the children of Israel that were there went over. What about Moses? What happened to him? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Moses had a beautiful death. What happened to him? Well, he just went up there where God was, and he went on Mount Nebo, and God just took him on home, and nobody even knew where he was after that. Isn't that a beautiful way? We'll be raptured out of here someday, maybe. But death is not an enemy to us. It was not an enemy to Moses, who's pastored him all that way. What happened to Moses? God took care of him. And he went off by himself out in a lonely area and went home to be with Almighty God. And he never regretted it. And he knew that he was going to be with the Lord. And Joshua crossed the Jordan River. And all the people went in to the Holy Land, as we would call it today, to Palestine, to Canaan's land, because God promised them they would go there. Yeah, the stones mean something, friend. They mean when you and I come to death's door, and we're going to come there someday. if the Lord does not come, obviously, in our lifetime, if he doesn't come, we're going to die. We don't know when we're going to die, but we're going to die. The older I get, the more I think about it, the more I realize it, the more I think about the reality of going to face the Lord. I'm probably going back to my high school reunion. I think it's the 45th. I'm so old, I forget now how long it has been. But they want me to do another memorial service. I did one 5 years ago for our graduating class. And three of our students, our co-students, or fellow classmates had died. Someone called me the other day and was telling me, I want you to do it again. But six have gone now to be with the Lord. That's my graduating class. By the way, I graduated 32 in my class, 32nd. That's not bad out of 33, amen? But we had 33 seniors that graduated from Rayville High School. Six of them are already gone. And as I looked at those names, and I looked at one of them was a young lady that I went to church with when I was a little boy. Another one was a lady, a teenager, when we were senior class favorites, and we had our picture taken together, and it was in the annual and all of that, and she died recently. And I looked at all of those, and I'm thinking, man, I'm headed that way. I had a very close friend of mine die the other day. He's actually younger than me. He was one of my co-sponsors when I was a youth director back in Roanoke, Virginia. And I talked to him Christmas, and I've called him a number of times. And they took him home, put him on hospice, and his kidneys failed and all kinds of problems, and he's already with Jesus. But he told me the last time I talked to him, he said, Brother Weaver said, don't worry about it. He said, I'm ready to go. He said, God's giving me a peace. By the way, he has three sons, and they're all preacher boys. All three of them are preachers. And he said, I'm ready to go to meet the Lord. I'm ready to go into his presence. I'm ready to be with him. Don't worry about me. Everything's all right. And I've got a picture of him on my filing cabinet at home. And I've got a little magnet somebody gave me that said, just visiting the earth. And I got that right on there just to remind me every time I go in my little office at home that I'm going to die someday if the Lord doesn't come in my lifetime. But I'll tell you what, when I get to Jordan, the Lord's going to be there. And when it comes time to cross over, and you who have lost your loved ones and you've been in their presence, as they crossed over, you know God gave a peace that passes all understanding. People cannot understand it. And thank God, hallelujah, these stones mean something. And it also means, praise God, we're going to see them again. Amen. And when we come to death's door, we don't have to fear it because we're ready. That is, if you've trusted Christ. If you haven't, trust him tonight. Let's stand, please. Every head is bowed. What mean these stones, old friend? Our prayers, our going to church, our reading our Bible, our witnessing, our giving, all of these things. Somebody say, what is all that about? It's all about God. It's all about God's power, God's ability. It's all about God providing. It's all about God taking us through life. It's all about God bringing us to death's door, and when we get there, leading us by his sweet, precious hand across chilly Jordan as he ushers us into his presence. Are you letting your children, mothers and dads and grandparents, know what the stones mean? We ought to have some memorial stones in our lives, things we do, things we point to. And they say, Daddy, why do we go to church? Mama, why do we pray? Daddy, why do you give that money? Daddy, why are you spending so much time down at the church serving? Oh, son, oh, daughter, I want to tell you what these stones mean and what the blood of Jesus means to me. Father, speak to our hearts. If there's someone here who's never been saved, a little boy, a little girl, someone in this congregation, I pray tonight that as we've talked about the blood of Jesus Christ, they would understand that it's only the blood that will forgive them and cover their sins. And I pray tonight they would come to Christ and be forgiven and be saved, anybody that might be here. And God, help us as believers to have some stones set up in our life that we might be able to witness to our loved ones and our neighbors and our friends and people all around us. And they say, why don't you drink? Why don't you party? Why don't you do these things? Why don't you curse? Why don't you tell dirty jokes? Why do you keep your life clean? And we can say to them, because of God, because of Jesus. Why are we committed to Him? Because of His love. God, help us to have some memorial stones in our lives that would testify of Your goodness and Your mercy and Your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.